You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Robust, romantic, and imposing. That's not about Dave. It's about castles. Castles capture our imagination right through our life from our early childhood and continue to hold that interest right throughout. From Europe to Haiti, from India to Japan, Castles of the World, which is the book we're going to discuss with its author, explores forts, strongholds, towers, and citadels from the ancient world up to the 20th century. And there are entries from all over the world in that. Dr. Phyllis G. Justice is the author of Castles of the World, and she joins us from Charleston, I do believe.
Yes, it is.
How are you today in Charleston?
Oh, doing very well.
That's a beautiful city that you have, is Charleston.
Oh, we love it dearly.
It's
almost old enough to be interesting.
No, it's lovely, and it's just next door to Kiowa Island, where there's some fabulous golf to be played. Are you a golfer?
No, I am not.
Okay. Phyllis, tell me, this is a magnificent book, and there are some fantastic pictures in here and descriptions of castles, and you've broken it down chronologically for us in the book as well. Tell us where your interest in castles came from.
Oh, I think, honestly, I'm a medieval historian, and I really became interested by being read King Arthur stories when I was too young and impressionable.
Wow.
And I have just always gravitated. I had castles as a child to play with, you know, and knights and toys and things like that. And when I was finally able to travel to Europe and actually to some parts of the United States to see castles, you know, the interest continued.
And tell me about the castles in the United States, because we consider America to be a very young country. And we think about castles as being prehistoric, mostly, you know, going back into the 10th, 11th, 12th century, and even before that. So tell me about the castles in America.
Yeah. Well, one thing important to remember about castles anywhere is, to a considerable extent, they were rebuilt in the 19th century.
Okay.
And you know, the most famous example is, of course, Neuschwanstein, Mad King Ludwig's castle in Bavaria. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a fascination with all things castle in the 19th century. And so the first castle I ever went to was the Hearst Castle in Central California. It was built by a journalistic robber baron, William Randolph Hearst.
Yeah.
And he invested an enormous fortune, brought in neo-Gothic architects, brought in large chunks of various buildings from throughout Europe that caught his fancy, and had his very own castle built.
Just like that, because he could.
Yes.
Okay. And is there a traditional type of castle, let's say, in America?
Oh, I'd say certainly the most common is what we think of as the late Gothic castle.
Okay.
With crenellated walls, with turrets, with what people tend to imagine as sort of the traditional fairy tale castle.
Have you a particular favorite?
Oh, my very own favorite castle, I think, has to be Caerphilly Castle in Wales.
Yeah? Why?
I love all of Edward I's Welsh castles, and this one, despite the fact that one tower was exploded by a gunpowder explosion a few centuries ago, it's very well preserved. So you can truly imagine your way what it would have been like both defending it and attacking it.
Right.
I once spent an entire birthday there just trying to imagine my way into that.
Really? And I'm looking at some of the pictures here in the book, particularly one from Austria. Don't ask me how to pronounce it. And there's one from Herzegovina. And they're built at the top, the very top of very big hills or small mountains. How were they built? How did they get the stuff there?
With enormous pain and difficulty. Stones very often moved up one stone at a time on donkey's back.
Right.
Sometimes dragged by, sledges and so on, up steep slopes that were built for the purpose. And actually often a considerable amount of the rock quarried on the site.
All right.
And, so that, basically they build it into the mountain in some ways.
Oh, well, it's fascinating. Now, you've broken the book into the introduction. You've got the ancient times to 700 CE, early medieval period, the late medieval period, early modern period, modern. In all of those, when you look at let's say, each period, are there similarities or are there characteristics in common between castles in different parts of the world, but from those times?
Yes, I'd say in general, the single biggest divide in time is when gunpowder starts coming in.
Okay.
And so castle building of necessity had to be approached differently when there was something that could shoot projectiles strong enough that you could, for example, not present corners, because a cannonball can knock loose a corner in a way the strongest catapult can't. So you have to turn toward curved. You have to increasingly turn toward, rather than a straight wall, have a more zigzaggy, star-like approach so that you can provide protective fire.
Okay. And so these are common right across the world.
Yes, very much so. Whether it's the Mughal dynasty building in India or southern Spain,
right,
you will get very similar architecture, or for that matter, things like Caribbean islands.
Okay, and I know that you've been traveling around the world in your work, and you concentrate on a lot of things in relation to what you're the chair of the Department of History at the College of Charleston in South Carolina. And have you visited? Tell me how many you've visited around the world.
Unfortunately, I have only visited castles in Europe.
What?
Other than that, I have just admired. I am so longing to go on a trip finally to the Eastern Mediterranean and see Crusader castles. And I'm hoping soon I'll be able to do that.
And you have included some of these in the book. So does that give you, like, when you were putting this book together, did it give you a real itchy foot kind of a feeling that you just want to be there and you want to be there now?
Oh, utterly. But then frequently when I'm teaching, I feel that way.
Do you really?
Oh, yes. I'm actually taking a break from teaching a class on the Hundred Years' War to talk to you. And I would so much rather be off seeing a castle at the moment.
I'm looking at a picture at the moment in the book. It's from Switzerland. Is it Oberhofen Castle?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
there's a very Tudor-type style to it, isn't there?
Oh, yes. And that's another problem. There are very few castles that have survived in their original state.
Okay.
And basically, they are both defensive structures, and they are normally the residence of a very important family.
Right.
The very important family is not going to be happy with 12th century plumbing.
No.
They will want a better dining hall. They will want, every convenience of the century that they're in. So very often we have a core of, say, 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th century, and then more will be added on in the style of a particular time.
Did the wars do a lot of damage? I'm thinking particularly, you know, where you would have had massive firepower like you would have had in the Second World War. And indeed, wars that have happened over the last 20 and 30 years in parts of the world. Was there significant damage done? Did we lose many castles?
Interestingly, the 20th century wars, surprisingly little damage was done to castles. They weren't, for the most part, defended.
Right.
Because a typical castle is really too small to be a defensible place for a modern war. Where we do see really interesting evidence is the recent war in Syria.
Yeah.
And the tragedy of the attack on especially the great hospitaller fortress, Croc de Chevalier, but the quite miraculous, it is still mostly intact despite ISIS shelling, which shows you how strongly it was built.
Wow, incredible. And tell me, what castle features on the front of the book?
Oh, that is Neuschwanstein.
Is it?
That is Mad King Ludwig's castle in Bavaria.
That's the one you were talking about. It's absolutely stunning. Well, listen, the book is just fantastic, and I could leaf through it forever and ever because it's just fascinating with some wonderful pictures, and the explanations and the little stories that go with it are beautiful as well. So I'm looking forward to getting more time to put my feet up and to go through them. And Wendy and I were talking about sand castles a little earlier on, flippantly. But I can tell you there's a lot more than sand castles in this. I really appreciate you taking the time out from your class to talk to us today, Dr. Phyllis G. Justice, and I hope that you're having beautiful weather in Charleston and have yourself a lovely day, and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a million. And the book, of course, is called Castles of the World, and it is available on the TRE Radio Bookstore.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.